What's going on, y'all? Gazerine 2K here yet again on another episode of the Gust Wind Podcast. Steuben, this is episode 27?
28 of season 2. Learn to count.
Numbers are hard, man. I teach kindergartners. If we can get up the count to 20, we stop right there. That's high enough. Sit down. You did it. You're going to be a first grader pretty soon.
Yeah, that's more than they have fingers and toes in most situations, so it's good for them.
Fingers and toes should equal up to 20, shouldn't it?
So if they're going past 20, then they don't have any more appendages to count with.
Fair. Very fair. Steuben, man, something happened this weekend.
Yeah, you flew across the country. You came to Columbus, Ohio, the land of, well, actually, you know, there's nothing really special about Columbus.
I mean, California has raisins and stuff like that. And then Wisconsin has cheese. You know, Ohio's known for
hell on earth.
Fair enough. In actuality, it wasn't the worst thing.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. Yeah. It's the outer parts of Ohio that are where all the memes really come from. Like, Columbus itself is actually pretty all right.
I know you've been all up and down that area, you know. Pennsylvania is not too far. How far is it from you?
It's a 2.5 hour drive if I drive the speed limit. Coming home, I did not drive the speed limit. We were home in about an hour and 45 minutes, not counting a 15 minute break.
Oh, you missed your bed, didn't you?
No.
You missed your toilet.
If I miss my toilet, I have a problem because then it's on the floor and
dang it, Steuben. But no, this was the weekend of the North America International Championship, NAIC for short. It was my first NAIC. You've done this how many times, Steuben?
Technically before they were ICs.
What were they called back then?
Just nationals.
Nationals. But now they're international.
It's so close to home. So competitive or not, I love going.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good time. Met a lot of people, saw a lot of faces. Finally got to see some of my East Coasters and Midwesters. Mm-hmm. It was a good time, man. We had to leave early because that's the flight. That's the best deal we could find on the flight. So, my group from Fresno left around, I think our flight left 8 p.m. that Saturday night. So we missed the championship Sunday. But it was a good time, man.
Yeah, you missed the legendary dinner with Gumi and Hi Hello and Sunny and
check Twitter.
Now you photoshopped. Check Twitter. Okay, we'll talk about that some other time, but you photoshopped yourself into that picture.
Speaking of Triple P, man, I got a story about Jake a little bit later. But no, man, yeah, you said, so before these were called just nationals, mm-hmm, not internationals? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because now you have people coming from all over the world, different places, stuff like that. And this was my first one, and I just wish we can get, I'm giving you my perspective. I wish we can get the perspective of someone who, who actually is international, who had never been to one of these before, who had never, traveled, to the States before. Like, we can get, their whole experience and breakdown or something like that, man. That'd be just, that'd be great.
Oh, no. Look who's coming out of the void into, okay, Gazer, I'm done doing these Blues Clues games with you. We are joined by Shea Burton. What is going on, my man?
Yeah, I am very good. I'm very excited to be back on the pod. It's been a while. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, as Gazer was saying, I'm currently sat in JFK Airport on the way home. But yeah, it's my first time in the States, first NAIC. I've been to 4 EUICs, but this is my first NAIC. So yeah, good fun.
Yeah, we're going to definitely dive into what you thought about the States, America, international travel, which you've done international travel before, but within, Europe. So this is definitely a whole different ball game flying across the ocean. So definitely want to get some info on your experiences from that, because not a lot of people, get to do these sort of things. So if we can shed some light.
It's pretty awesome when you get a chance to. Mm-hmm, but I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. So his name is Shay. It's not Slowpoke Will.
At one point in time, it was.
It's not Hot Chalk. That's not, no.
No, not quite. Not quite. A few months ago, it might have been.
Yeah. So now you just go by Burt's TCG.
Yep.
For people who don't know why specifically, would you love to talk about that for a second?
Well, why I change online name?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of reasons. First one is my personal training business is just called Burt's PT. So I thought it'd be easy just to unify the brands a little bit. So now it's Burt's PTCG and then Burt's PT. and then as well, I just thought it'd be a little bit more brand safe. You know, as I started to work a bit more with Pokemon themselves, I thought they might not want to be putting hot chalk all over there, you know, their marketing or whatnot. So I thought, I mean, let me make that a little bit safer for them as well. So yeah, they were the two main reasons.
We've seen a similar transformation with Trainer Chip, who became just Chip Ritchie. Although we have Adam Watson, who went, you know, the different direction. He became Skarzik. You know, he went from Adam Watson to Skarzik. So, I mean, I guess it works both ways.
Technically, yeah, Skarzik. Yeah, I think that's been his, like, internet handle, though, for the longest time.
And then, yeah, when he was introduced, though, wasn't he Adam Watson for the longest time? And now he's Skarzik.
I think they're letting people slowly stick their usernames into things more generally, like, because, you know, like, they'll be like, for example, like, Pablo, they'll be like, I'm Pablo Table Mod Mesa, you know what I mean? So, like, they'll slip all that kind of stuff in there when acceptable.
So you mean one day I could be Ryan Gazerbeam 2K Reed?
I think you already are, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, okay. Okay, Steven.
That's right. Most people don't ever call me by my actual name, but that's okay. I don't mind.
Well, for the longest time, our boy LDF thought your name was actually, you know, Stu, and your last name was Ben.
so many people do.
Or people thought your name was actually Ben. You know, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Ben, how's it going? I was like, oh. It's like that SpongeBob episode with Patrick where they, like, write Rick on the name badge. He's like, my name's not Rick. So you are currently still in the U.S. heading home, and you spent the weekend in Ohio. Overall, what do you think of Columbus? What'd you think of your brief stint in the States so far?
Yeah, I've loved being in the US. I followed, like, a lot of American sports and stuff before. All my life, really. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. One of the nicest things I liked was being able to, like, chat about basketball with just people, like, in the gym, when we was at, like, a club or wherever, when we was at a bar. That was pretty cool. Loved that. Everyone's very nice, more talkative. Like, in the UK, mainly London, people you don't really speak. They're just, everyone's moody or that jazz. Whereas in America, everyone seems very nice. Hotel was good. Everything just seems really big in America, right? Like let's say you go on Google Maps and I say, let's go to this shop. And you look at the map, you go, oh, it doesn't look that far. Then you've hit the speed. Yeah, I loved America. I'm hoping next season to try and come back, try and get a couple of regionals and maybe NAIC again. Because, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Any experiences specifically that you enjoyed over the others while in Columbus, like food or anything, or, you know, like a drink? It could have been a building or a place you went to outside of the convention hall.
I went to a gym called the Pros Gym in Columbus, and I think that's probably the best gym I've ever been to. I think it was a little bit expensive. It was like $20 for a day pass, but the machines were, like, well good. There's plenty of weights. There was a sauna there. It was, like, a proper, like, old school bodybuilding cast iron kind of gym. There were, like, TVs everywhere, so you could watch. I think there was some NFL at the same time, so I was just watching that in between sets. And, yeah, it's a good vibe, good vibe. If NAIC is in Columbus again, I'm definitely going back to that gym. Cause,
awesome.
Yeah, that was really good.
That's cool.
I'm just disappointed we didn't get a chance to, you know, run any pickup games, man. I wanted us to play some basketball.
Yeah, so did I. It was weird. It was like we're getting talked about. I think the day and time we was gonna do it, things started raining, didn't it? And by the time it stopped, it was like what 4 or 5, and everyone's getting ready for evening plans. I think, which is kind of what screwed us up. But it's always next year or some other American regionals. Everyone's at. I'm always happy to play some ball.
Yeah, same here. We had the Fresno regional, and I played some basketball with Dre Oxus and Andrew Hedrick and a few other people, Gabe Smart. Oh, so yeah. It's some good times, man. But yeah, that's so you good. Enjoyed the gym. Good. So you enjoyed the gym. I do have to say this. You are definitely built. I will put it like that, man. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, I got to meet you in person, got to shake that firm hand. I was like, this guy is built. This is someone I would never want to fight. I challenged a 9-card TCG to a fight. The fight didn't happen, but after meeting you, I would never challenge you to a fight at all. I mean, even after meeting 9-card, I wouldn't challenge him to a fight again. I've learned my lesson.
9-card is stacked. That man is a unit. I want to be on his good side, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, that was the fun of the little like fight video he made, which I'm gonna throw that in my vlog if anyone didn't see that when I get that edited and rolling. But
I thought that was hilarious.
Like the pre-fight, like shit talking to each other, that was so awesome. Like
and out of nowhere, Lauren's like, "Just kiss already."
Yeah, Nick's wife made the entire thing. The two of you just broke up giggling, and it. And if anybody took any of it super seriously, I hope they didn't, because it's just all been fun and games the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all just fun and games. I thought that was quite funny, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. I wish it would have happened, though. That would have also been some really good content. I'm not going to lie.
You just wanted me to get hurt.
He wouldn't hurt you. Like,
are you sure?
Drastically. I think maybe
drastically.
A light blow or two or whatever, and then it would have been over with. But it would have been some good content.
It might have been, but you know, for the safety of myself and others, you know, it was basically for my safety.
It'd be like the intro, if you ever remember watching like Jackass, whatever, like these stunts are performed by trained individuals.
Do not try these at home.
Yeah, do not try it at home. Do not do it in the convention center where you can get banned by Pokemon for fighting.
Imagine.
That would have been
the headlines.
Yeah, would have been awesome.
A group of Pokemon trainers have been banned from the Ohio Convention Center.
Last year, when the one player / judge Matt Verive did the jumbo cards, and that kind of made headlines.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I can imagine two Pokemon players disqualified for fighting in venue, like getting national news attention. And it would just get blown out of proportion so far. So
maybe it's
a good call it didn't happen. You know, who knows?
Yeah, they wouldn't have been in on a joke like we are.
No, of course.
But not. Yeah. But yeah, so the whole experience was something new for myself as well. And it was amazing. I enjoyed it so much. I got to meet you. I got to meet our guy Sonny, Nick, Vulcan Turtle, so many different names, man. Finally got to hook up with LDF. So Chalk, Mr. Chalk, who did you meet that was just like, wow, I can't believe I met them? Or, you know, wow, I finally met them.
Well, apart from myself.
No, Gazer takes all the credit. It's fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gazer number one. And after that, okay, J Love, I feel as if we've been chatting for online Twitter now for a while. We've been chatting in DMs for a while. But I mean, technically, I met him at EUIC, but that was like literally like a 30 second thing. He had to rush to the toilet in between rounds. I never managed to see him again.
Yeah, that was us. I got a fist bump in with you, then I had to dip.
yeah. So, yeah, we were just vibing for ages, talking about, like, YouTube content, the game, all sorts. Shame he's literally geographically the furthest place away from the UK via flight time, so it'd be really hard to see him again, but unless it's at another event, obviously. But, yeah, that was real good fun. And apart from that, it's mostly just running into people, like, again, like, have I met LDF before, actually? Probably not. So I guess that was another first timer. But then, like, meeting all the Australian crew again, like Henry Brand, Natalie Miller. So I've met them at, like, EYCs before, Worlds, actually. So, yeah, just all manner of people, really.
Yeah, it really is. When they say international, it truly is an international event. There's literally someone there from almost everywhere on the globe.
Yeah, like, I think I played my round two or three opponents from like Guatemala, I think. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
That Pokemon can just bring everybody together from all over the place. It's honestly amazing. Isn't that wild? Yeah.
That's so wild, man.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, it's crazy.
Yeah, the game itself and the memories we all build. What is it? The friends we've made along the way or the real journey itself?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
That's the real prize.
for me
it was meeting you. It was. Oh, I'm sorry, Sue. Yeah, for me it was meeting you two. Honestly, It was meeting you guys, meeting LDF. I didn't know he and I were gonna click that well. We clicked pretty well. Finally got to meet Riley from Twitter. That was fun. I had been trying to meet Isla, you know, Sutherland, for like
6 months.
And finally I'm walking by, because like when we were in both in San Diego, they messaged me and they're like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "Well, I'm here. Where are you?" "Well, I'm here." "Okay, where are you now?" "Well, I'm in the game." "Well, I'm in the game. I'm between rounds. I'm in the bathroom." Like, we just couldn't meet up. And then I didn't find him in Fresno, didn't find him in Portland, anywhere else. So then finally, just walk by and be like, "Wait, Isla?" Like, yeah. And then, you know, just met, and it was a good time to meet. Justin Basil was cool too. They actually meet him in person.
He's
dry wit, sarcasm. Yeah. It was fun, man. And then meeting Julian J Lo for the first time. I've been in his stream. I think he came through my stream a couple times, but you know, we didn't really talk, and then we talk and we just click, and that was cool too. And I guess meeting the real Sunny Games, I guess that was okay. It was all right, I guess.
Wow, Gazer. Why they disrespect you, Sunny?
I mean, don't we all? But also, what about you, man? Was there anyone or anything, any person that you just like, wow, I finally met them, or I'm waiting to hear my name? So
you know, we've done this podcast for about a year and a half now. And just to finally meet in person for the first time, you're a character or an actor online. You're an actual human being in person, and I was shocked.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or I don't know what that is. But okay, that's fine.
a little bit of both, I guess. No, you were super chill. It was cool, and I'm sure you probably thought, okay, he's not actually a raging douchebag.
I never thought you were a raging douchebag. I just thought you were, you know, a sarcastic jerk sometimes.
Well, I mean,
which you are.
Yes,
so
yeah, but
so that so I got what I expected.
It's all in good fun. Meeting Hi Hello in Gumi in person was also super awesome.
Oh, that's right. You never met Gumi. Never met Gumi before.
Yeah. So we never got the, we all had dinner, together, and that was awesome. There was a huge group of like, I think 15 of us, having dinner.
Yeah, there was a lot of us there. And there was a lot of us.
You were supposed to be there, but you're a ding dong and you left too soon and you didn't book the right flight. So,
well, it was cheaper if we left, you know, when we left. I mean, I was there. Check on, if anyone's listening to this, go check on Twitter, find Steuben's page. I was clearly in the picture. Jake from Triple P, the Pittsburgh podcast, he was there as well. We were clearly in that picture. So go check on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to, you're going to hear some shade about Gazer probably on Triple P. So if you want another pod to listen to, go listen to that this week whenever their episode comes out, because they are definitely.
Well, let me get the real story. Let me get the real story out there right now.
Throw some shade on you.
Let me get the real story. So it's round, let's see, I was 3, 1, 2. So maybe it's round 6. It might have been round 6. And I match up against Jake Abrams. I'm like, yo, that's Triple P. I was like, I don't know who knows my real name. So I'm walking to the table. And he's like, oh, what's up, Gazer? And I sit down. He's like, wait, you're Ryan Reed? I'm like, I'm Ryan Reed, man. It's me. He's like, oh, and like, it's like, he went from like elated to see me to like, oh man, I gotta play Gazer. You know, this is my guy. I was like, yeah, we gotta play each other, man. I said, unless you want an ID. I said, neither one of us is, you know, taking a tie yet. He's like, well, I guess whoever wins this, you know, goes on, you know, knocks the other one out. I said, we could tie. He's like, nah, man, let's play it out. I said, all right, we could play it out. And I was playing Lost Box with all the single prizers, Galarian Moltres. I was hoping to hit some Guardian, some Mew. I hit one Mew my first round and I took care of that. Hit Guardian my second round, lost to it. So, I mean, my last round, lost to it. But I couldn't hit the right matchups. So I ran into Jake and he was playing Colorless Lugia. Mm-hmm. You guys know what that Snorlax does, right?
Yeah.
From Lost Origin?
Oh, yeah.
I love that Snorlax. Snorlax basically says if you're playing against Lost Box, just sign the match lift as a win and keep it moving.
basically, you're basically right. And I was about to do that too. When he flipped over Snorlax, I was like, oh, it's going to be that kind of game. But, yeah, I was playing Lost Box. I was like, okay, I can still try to play around it, see what I can do. I played the Snorlax as well. So I was like, I could hit hard. And I had the Moltres, so I can also hit hard with that too. So I was like, it's going to be a close one, but let's try it out. So game one, it's coming down to the wire. We're both, you know, it becomes a sweaty match. We're both sweating. We're, you know, we're thinking. We're trying to figure things out. And he has to put down his Lumineon. I'm like, yo, that's a target. I definitely got to get that. And he went a turn where I thought he could collapse Stadium and get it out of play, but he didn't. So I was like, oh, that's mine. I boss up Lumineon, take it out. I'm down to one prize. Moltres takes out the last Snorlax. We go to game two. Game two, I got nothing going. It's like cram, attach, pass. comfy for one. So I go about 3-4 turns. I'm like, yeah, I'll just wrap it up, conceding. Like the whole time he's like antsy. He's like, Gazer, what are we gonna do? Are you gonna scoop? What are you like? He's like just on edge. I'm like, if I can't get it going, you know, this third turn, I'll scoop it. Third turn, nothing happened. We scoop. So we go to game three, and he's playing his butt off. I'm playing as hard as I can. I'm thinking. We're thinking hard. We're trying to, you know, put. I'm manipulating damage counters, and he's doing stuff. I heavily damage a Lugia. He tries to retreat and tries to get a collapse stadium. He misses it. So I sable out a Lugia away. I take out something else, and I have game in hand. My hand is, of course, it's like 20 cards. I have game in hand, and I'm like, okay, even if I get Iono, I can still thin out my deck to where I still have two options, because he put down a Lumineon to go get Iono. So I thin out my deck to turn before, so I was like, whatever I draw into should give me a chance to have two options. I can either boss up the Lumineon and Moltres, or I have Snorlax, Super Rod, Mirage Gate, knock out his active Lugia. So I was like, I have options. He hits Iono. I go down to two cards. Two cards I have in hand are fine, too. He knocks out something. I said, okay, here goes Comfy. As long as I don't draw into two of the pieces I have, I can still have options on my route. I draw Mirage Gate, and I draw Colress. And I'm like, well, I can't boss now if I keep the Colress. Because if I go Colress right after Mirage Gate, get the ordinary rod, I mean the super rod, and go that route. But now I can't boss the fish. So I'm like, which one do I choose? So I go the Colress route. I draw. I miss the rod, and I lose in turns, in time. He beats me on turn three. So we had a good match. It went back and forth, and he was sweating. He went on to day two, so I was happy for that. He went on to go on in day two. I always wonder what would happen if we tied and if we just went down that route. Maybe we both missed it then. But it was a good time, though. It was fun playing with him. And afterwards, he's like, Gazer, man, I'm sorry if I came off like that. You know, I was like, bro, it's the game, man. I said, whether we're boys or not, we're both trying to win. I said, it is what it is. So it was a good time. So that's the true story. I don't know how he's going to spin. He might spin it as I was slow playing and I'm a jerk and I yelled at him. I don't know how he's going to spin it, but we'll see.
I'm excited to hear what he has to say on their episode. I'm not going to lie. Two sides to every story kind of thing.
I feel like it could have went either way. I shouldn't have won that game. The one game I won, and even the game three where I was close, I shouldn't have been in those games, because that Snorlax is tough, man. I can't sableye it. It's so tough.
Yeah, Snorlax is definitely a beast.
But I was looking at other people I played. I played against some really good players. Like, I look back at a guy I played from your area, Shay, from the UK. His name is Adam Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, top 16 worlds.
Yeah, he top 16 worlds. I didn't know that. So I played him. I beat him, and he was very, you know, very good guy. I top decked something to beat him. I forget what I top decked. And he was like, well, that'll do it then, won't it? He's like, I own-node you, so you wouldn't have the second piece. But I had, you know, one piece in hand. I top decked the other piece I needed. He's like, I was going to Iono you to two, but you already had two cards in hand. So I said, what's the point? I was like, yeah, if you Iono me, I probably don't win that one. But I beat him, and I went back to look at Worlds from last year for some reason. Because Jake, after I played him, mentioned, you know, somebody from Worlds. Like, oh, who did Jake play from Worlds? And I saw the name Adam, and I'm like, I played him. I was like, oh, my gosh, he's good. And, like, I looked at some of the other names I played throughout just this whole season. And I played a lot of good people. Nathan Stafford and – I played against a lot of good people. So Victor Ng, I played him twice at Portland and Fresno. And he took top five. He went into day two undefeated, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. I think they were 9-0, yeah.
Yeah, so I played a lot of good players this season. So I don't feel as crummy as I was for a while. I'm like, okay, I played some good players. Some I beat, some were close games. You know, some – I never just got steamrolled. So I'm like, okay, this is okay. So it felt good. This is a good season for me. I really enjoyed my first competitive season.
Yeah, love to hear that. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and then we get a full, real, like, full season with, like, actual local CP events. Technically, today is the first day that we're recording this episode, at least. It's the first day of the new season, so, like, League Challenges and League Cups can technically be scheduled and be out there for people to start grinding and start earning towards 2024 worlds. And
yeah, all this stuff is starting now, right? Towards July. Anything for the rest of July now goes towards next season.
From today on.
And a lot of people I'm talking to get the feeling that cups and challenges open back up towards like best of five or best of six, your top five or six.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, because this season was only what your best two, right? Your top two finishes.
Yeah, it's on a quarterly basis typically anyway, so it should be it's usually two per quarter for best finishes, so you can technically get 2, 4, 6, 8 somewhere in there, eight? Unless they change it. Who knows? They might make it harder than before. So we'll see ultimately what happens with that, with the best finish limit, and you know, if it's quarterly or if it's for the whole season itself this time. It's not there's not a lot of detail out there, and we'll get a lot more over the next month into Worlds. And at the end, you know, the closing ceremony always says where the next Worlds is going to be located. So we can speculate all we want, but we're not going to know until, you know, later on. I will say, though, the tease of them showing the first few premier events, though.
Seen that?
Yeah. Pittsburgh Regionals. It's 45 minutes from my house. Let's go. That's awesome. That's going to be the cheapest regional ever, except for there's some glaring issues with the dates. But that's just city problems, not necessarily, like, you know, the TO's problem.
Well, Shay, I don't know if you've seen it, but Steuben mentioned it on Twitter. The weekend of the Pittsburgh Regional, there's also the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a home game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a headache within itself. And that same weekend, I think there's a few bands in town having concerts. Is that right?
Baby Metal, Death Clock are playing Friday night. Duran Duran, legendary 80s and 90s group, they're playing Saturday night. And then Team Fishknuckles commented and said Poppy's playing a few days later. So packed weekend in Pittsburgh, that regional. So definitely, if you're anyone out there listening, considering going to the Pittsburgh Regionals, and first of all, no, I will not pick you up from the airport. Gazer, I will consider picking you up from the airport. Anyone else, probably not. You know, book your rooms and your travel accommodation ASAP, and do not expect to stay downtown, because the hotel connected already is booked, fully booked, to the convention center in downtown Pittsburgh. And and that's probably because of the Steelers game, which the season is always announced in the spring almost every year for football. So I'm sure they see those dates for those games and just like, all right, cool, we're getting tickets and booking our stuff now, just like we would want to book for a regional, but we just have no opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to that one. I might take my stepdaughter, and my wife has family there. So when I mentioned it to them, my stepdaughter, Manaya, was just down for anything. And then my wife was like, oh, I can go see my mom and this and that. I'm like, yeah, we might make that happen. We're looking at prices last night. It's going to be a lot easier to fly out of like Vegas or LA for us than it is from Fresno.
Yeah. Fresno's gonna be, Pittsburgh like, does $200. Have an international airport, unlike some of the cities that they've been picking regionals for, like Peoria or whatever.
Yeah, and Peoria's back, by the way. Your favorite spot.
I heard the crowd booed.
They booed.
Yeah, I heard the crowd. The crowd went boo visibly and audibly.
So, oh man,
we'll see.
I wish I was there for that. One that I'm excited for, Sacramento.
Yeah, that's not that far
in California. That's about two hours and 15 minutes from me. So that's like, it's not Fresno where I could just step outside and like, hey, I'm here, you know. But I hop in the car, 2 hours, I'm there. If I want to get a hotel, fine. I also have a cousin who stays out there, so I can stay with my cousin. Or if I want to just drive back home for the night, 2 hour drive, come back the next day. I don't know. I got options. So that's going to be a good time too.
Yeah, well, we're getting too excited for the new season, and technically we have to talk about the results of NAIC in the first place.
True.
What we expected to win, we didn't expect this. Cyrus Davis taking the win with Inteleon, Urshifu, VMAX deck, with Ian Robb in second place with Arc, Dura, Umbreon. I will say,
was it on your bingo list?
No, it was not on my bingo list. That finals game was insane. We sat in the front row for the TCG finals, and just the energy in the venue was insane compared to before.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Ian. Like some of those, he almost clutched game one after the terrible start, and then, well, game three. Well, if you call it a game, that's
That wasn't a
heartbreaking way
game.
to go out on an ice season like that. Oh dear.
Yeah,
That wasn't a game.
they took too long to change back from the prize cam
Yeah.
to the tabletop, and as soon as they did, it was over. I was just like, everybody, you blink and you miss it, basically.
I mean, that was so wild. I missed it. So I missed the first game. I was running some errands. You know, I came back to Fresno, came back home early. I was running some stuff, running some errands for my grandma. I hop in the car and I start listening, and it's game two. And I look, I'm like, Cyrus won game one? I'm like, that shouldn't be right. That matchup on paper should just be Duraludon win, right?
Yeah, well, we all got
Yeah,
proved wrong.
Duraludon's hard to get through.
Yeah, it should have been Duraludon win, but I look and okay, Cyrus won game one. Okay, maybe something went wrong because one time I beat Arc Duraludon using a Zoroark V-Star. I beat a Liam Kidd with it, and
Wow.
I'm like, okay, sometimes if you don't evolve, it could happen. Okay, cool. And then game two went how I thought it would. Okay, so I step out the car, do something for like a minute, hop back in the car. Game three starting up, and all I hear is like, oh, there it is, there it is, and it's over. I'm like, wait, what? It just started. What do you mean it's over?
Yeah.
So I had to, look at the screen while I'm, don't tell anyone, but while I'm driving, I look at the screen and I was in shock. It was just attach pass, wasn't it? That's
Yeah.
wild.
The fact that
Crazy.
Ian had nothing, no supporter, no ultra ball, no nest balls. Insane. Just awful luck. Yeah. And I mean, I had some insane awful luck this weekend, but that's besides the point.
He told me about it. He had a hand with one Giratina and six energy.
It was a Kofi in six
Sorry.
energy, and then I found double Corrus going first, and what can I do? And then I got donked by Maridon.
Yeah. That's rough. I mean, playing Lost Box, it happens sometime, but it seems to happen a lot more in Arceus decks. I mean, they call them arc piles for a reason. And last week, Stu, when you and I touched with Nine Card and with Brendan about how arc piles are, Arceus decks are easy to, navigate, but they do tend to brick a little bit more. And like I said, on paper, you get Duraludon out, you evolve it, you should probably not lose that game. It's gonna be really tough to lose that one. But the Arceus aspect, it clunks up things for some reason. Why is that? What is why?
I don't know. RNG, man. You got all these different varying evolution lines. That's probably my guess.
Yeah, I think it's you can't really afford to run VIP pass. If Pokemon Communication was in format, that'd be a real good card because then you get four Nest, four Ultra, maybe like three communication. Then actually, I reckon that'll sort out your turn ones. But yeah, it's just getting them out, right? I mean, if you wanted to run extra ball search now, right? It'd have to be something like Great Ball, and that's not really reliable, is it? Or I guess you're capturing a Roma maybe, but that's 50-50% of the time you're only getting what you want anyway. So I think that's the best Achilles heel to the Arceus deck. The turn ones can be devastating because I mean, Ian had a bad turn one, game one, almost clutch to end up losing, and then the one game he did set up, which was game two, he won. So it's just unfortunately they had two or three bad turn ones really, and that's all she wrote.
It seemed like he was in game one. Ian was like playing into the Duraludon, thinking it was going to be enough. From the vibes I was picking up, they're like, all right, cool. I could just hide to behind Duraludon, attach, 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 attack, and go. But the fact that Cyrus was able to like get double water energy on Inteleon and just force Ian to bench more Pokemon so the game wasn't over. That was definitely like what I thought was going on, but maybe he did just have a dead hand. I couldn't really tell from the way the camera angle was.
Well, he led Duraludon, didn't he? Duraludon basic one energy, so he oh, it just never came down to like 10-4, I think, or something crazy. So
Oh my gosh. I think you're right though. If Pokemon communication was the thing, because sometimes you sit with those Arceus decks and you have Arceus out, and you have a Umbreon VMAX in your hand. And you're like, well, now what do I do? So if you can, Pokecom and switch that out for, the V-Star for a basic, so I don't get donked. Whatever you need, that Pokecom is a good card. It's a fair balance card. It's really good.
I can see it coming back. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
That was one of the cars when I first started playing online that I, you know, it was part of that, was it Black and White? It was Black and White.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing near the tail end of Black and White, and Pokecon was a card I've seen, you know, a lot of. And I was like, hey, that's a solid card. The one that I've seen a lot was the one with, like, the little Mencino, or is it Chinchino? Whichever one was, you know, the little picture. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's a cool card.
Yeah, it's good. Good, fair card. It was in Sun and Moon as well, weren't it? Sun and Moon era.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was a team up I put it in, I believe. And it made a lot of sense then until the tag teams and the VMAXs just started taking over as everything was releasing over time.
We saw. I mean, that tends to happen.
Yeah, it does. But at the same time, too, when a new set comes out, we go back and we look at all these old random cards. Like, oh, can I play this now? Does this have synergy with something new? And sometimes it does. We find. Like with Gardevoir, perfect example.
I was gonna bring that up.
Shining Arcana was never played before, but you know, as soon as we got that EX refinement and everything, just all together, made the whole package together. And I feel like that's why the Gardevoir is like the only stage two deck that is getting any success whatsoever, is just because the entire line has utility and so many split branches with the Gallades too. So. That's definitely one of the benefits it has over, say, like Merc piles.
It's the fact that, let's see, it's been what, a year coming up on is it almost 2 years since Chilly Rain came out with that Gardevoir?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, about 2 years. The fact that it's taken 2 years for this to happen is kind of a, you know, like a shocker. Like, wow, you know, it took 2 years. I was playing the Shiny Arcana Gardevoir. I played it online a few times, took it to a couple tournaments, did okay with it. It's a fun, you know, it was a fun little deck, but it wasn't great. But then, you know, a few sets later, they add a new routes and then a new line. And then you have the new Curlia, you know, the Mirage Step and the refinement. And just as these things start to add up, it becomes like a snowball effect. We're like, hey, I can put this here. And then, you know, you're mix matching cards from different sets and it's working. The only other thing that worked this way, I think, was a year and a half back with Inteleon.
Yeah.
When you had the original Sword and Shield line. And then all of a sudden, Chilling Rain said, hey, here's one that can snipe damage too. And you're like, whoa, I can add this one. Whoa, these Drizzles can get other Drizzles? Whoa, I can keep calling? Yeah, whoa, this is going to work. Assuming you said that there's no really viable stage two, I think the only thing that's semi-viable now that maybe is maybe Excalibur?
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's also that's got the power of Water and Irida in its pocket, though. Like, That has a lot of pieces in there that make that stage two work. I think if it wasn't for Irida, I don't think the deck would be good at all.
I don't think the deck's good at all, even with Irida.
No, I mean, there were a handful in
there's a top 16. I know there's a top 16.
There's a top 16. There's a top 32. All the lists haven't dropped yet completely, so we don't know everything yet. So there's a handful of different options. I mean, I think Jared Grimes played it with a 1-1 Arceus line and got 23rd. I think 32nd place with Anthony Perez, and then I think top 16 was Owen Rhodes. So it's got potential, and I think it'll get better as we lose E-Block, but that's not until sometime next year.
Yeah. I think, the one in round 9 at 1-0, when it was student, played double cancelling clone. I think moving forward, that's the way to go, I think. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even free cancelling clones. I think having an extra in your back pocket just seems so good in so many scenarios. I really like that idea.
Yeah, being able to use Moonlight Shuriken on Greninja multiple times in a game is a scary thing to be able to do. So you're going to see decks play maybe 2 mana fee in the future if it really does.
I mean, there are decks playing 2 mana fee now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the Super Rod, you know, they're bringing back mana fees. I was at a win a case yesterday, and I didn't win the case. I took 14th out of 50th, so I wasn't 14 out of 50, so I wasn't mad about that. Had some good games. One game was just bad luck, but the final game had a Lost Box versus Lost Box, and one was playing the Galarian Moltres like I was playing, and this guy and I, we've talked back and forth about, you know, 1 or 2 Moltres. I say 2 is the way to go, and he says no, 1's the way to go with a canceling cologne, and you know, he had his reasons. We played a couple times and I beat him, so I'm like, no, my list is superior. But he made it to the finals, and his canceling cologne came in handy because it was basically the whoever can keep their mana field alive the longest was going to win that game. The 2 lost boxes. So
yeah,
one would knock out the Manaphy, and then you know, other one bring it back with the rod, and he'd knock out the other guy's Manaphy, bring it back with a rod, or you know, he'll clear it back up, you know, pick it back up, and it's just going back and forth. And I think each player brought their Manaphy back to the board like three times. And then the guy who has the Moltres, he held his hand, he waited, and then he finally bossed up Manaphy, Camson Cologne, Greninja, Manaphy, and a Comfy. And that basically put him in checkmate mode to win the game.
Yeah.
So then the only thing the other player could do was boss up his Moltres and hope he didn't have the energy for it. But the guy top deck, super rod, rotted, attached energy, Mirage Gate, knocked out with Moltres, and he won three booster boxes. But some decks are playing two Manaphy. Some only play one, but so much recovery now to get it back, especially in Lost Box. And any deck, a lot of decks play rod anyway. So I think there's a way to get Manaphy back, but it's such a key component right now.
Yeah, massive card.
You know what doesn't care about Manaphy? Yogolo.
What? Tell me about it. That's one of my losses. Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's definitely how Cyrus got up there. They were able to, you know, double gunner Yogolo. And then, okay, cool. I don't care if you get another Manaphy in play because you're not getting a turn to do it. So
you want to get another Manaphy? I'll do it again. Here we go. You want to see me do it again? Yeah. I can do it again, too. And that's what happened to me. I played Inteleon Rapid Box, and it's just terrible for Lost Box. And when I saw him flip over the Inteleon V-Star, I said, hey, you're probably going to win. I said, I don't think I win this, but I'm a fight. And I played my heart out. I did what I could, but just double gunner, painful spoons, yoga loop, Manaphy's gone, and then, you know, rapid flow, two of my Comfy. I'm like, well, now what do I do? And I set up one time, I'm like, okay, I'm going to move some damage off of my Comfy. So I use back-to-back switching cards. And I said, I want to bait them into knocking out Manaphy and then bait them into taking out two of my Sableye. I put two Sableye down and I had two Comfy. I said, if they take out both Sableye because they view it as a threat, I can come in with the Moltres and pick up a knockout on the Urshifu. And maybe from there, we can figure something out. And it was working. They knocked out the Manaphy, Yoga Loop took the second turn. I said, okay, they're falling for my trap. Okay, good, we're good. And they placed some damage. They double gunners my two Comfies. They have four damage counters on Comfy. I'm like, okay, cool. They're going to weaken the Comfies. They're going to knock out the Sableye. Good to go. For whatever reason, last minute, my opponent's like, you know what? Rapid flow the Comfies. And that just blew my whole plans out the water. And I asked them at the end, I said, why'd you do that? They said, well, I was going to take out your Sableye. I'm like, no, I better take out the draw engines first. And that won them the game. They're going to win regardless, but it won them the game. But no, Subin, you're right. Yoga Loop. It don't care about your Manaphy, man. Mm. It don't care.
Nope. And speaking of don't care, Gazer, last week you said you don't really care for Arctina. And man, there was so much Arctina that performed. And it converted well into day two as well.
They were everywhere. I lost the one. It was crazy. And it was what I said. It was just a brick fest. It was just a game I bricked back-to-back games. A match I break back-to-back games, but they break too. There are times they went Abyss Seeking pass. There are times I went, you know, one Comfy pass. I went Attached Cramorant pass. They went Trinity Charge, not Nova, but Charge pass. And just we both were breaking back and forth. So it's like I said, it breaks, and it's an Arceus, like it breaks, but it managed to convert very well. I can't figure out why or how. Shay, how?
I think it's, you know, fundamentally it's the most straightforward arc deck. You haven't got double evolution lines like you would have, well, attack evolution lines like you do with Umbreon, Dura. And I guess it's that age-old equalizer of, you know, Judge Path, Iono Path. Like, that's how we saw Mew, where DT Mew would just, you know, was such a killer force in the meta. Even though necessarily, you know, Lost Box, Lugia weren't the greatest matchups, but if you can just go Judge Path and your opponent can't do anything, like you can be anything across the table. So I feel as if Arctina's into that sort of
I ran into an Arctina in Portland and I beat them. I had Gudra at the time and I beat them. And they said, you know, I like my deck, but I feel like Mew's just a better, you know, better Judge Path deck than me. I'm like, no, you are the best Judge Path deck. Because Mew has to worry about, you know, trying to use their, you know, their lost vacuums to use their abilities again. I said, once you pop your V-Star, it's just Judge Path all day. You don't have to worry about a single thing. I said, you are the best Judge Path deck. I felt as if Lost Tina was better, but apparently not. Subin, you played a little Lost Tina this weekend.
I did, yeah. I think my 60 was fine. My problems were that I got donked a couple games during the day. And I had, just like I said earlier, I had an opening hand where it was a Comb Fiend, six energy, hitting double chorus, going first, and just getting donked. round one, I played against Arctina, and I won 2-0. My opponent was super awesome, by the way. Shout out to Alex McNeil. They work for Discord. We talked a lot about a lot of stuff. They were a really awesome opponent to talk to.
Okay.
But I was able to find my path and my Tina and my lost Tina deck turn one in both games. And I never let them Starbirth, and it was just perfect for me. And then round two, I hit Maraidon and got donked two games in a row. Round three, I hit Lost Zone. I got donked one of the games and then opened that fabled Comfy six energy hand and basically just got smacked on that. was too slow to start. And then basically at that point, you're in that, like, you know, that, oh, cool, I've got two losses, so on and so forth. So I won a couple games. I dropped 2-3-1 in round six. My opponent was playing Arctina. Game one, it was fine. I needed to hit a gate at the end to close it out, and I didn't. Game two, I was able to path them out before they could Starbirth. And then game three, we go to time, and I have game if they don't KO Tina, and they have no cards in hand, nothing on the board other than an Arc and a Tina that are loaded, and they top deck boss with nothing left in hand. So they were able to boss up the Tina, retreat the Arceus, and KO it with their Tina, and then I couldn't come back from that.
Didn't you make a TikTok like that a couple weeks ago when you top deck boss?
Maybe. I don't remember. Did I?
I think you did. So you just manifested that into your life, man. Good job.
Yeah. I made a TikTok last night about the Pokemon Center experience.
Oh, I've seen that one too.
Yeah. It was good times. Where it's like, please, please, let me go first. Let me go first. I'm doing something. It's everyone trying to get in line without an appointment, trying to cheat their way in. And then the other one's like, are you? No. Oh. Like he's crying or whining when everything's sold out in 15 minutes.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. That was my first experience in Pokemon Center, and my group from Fresno were, you know, they made reservations, like, hey, we'll do this. And I'm like, we're playing games at the time. How can we go to the Pokemon Center when we're playing games at, you know, 12:30 in the afternoon? They said, you just have to, you know, either ID or, you know, just give up your round, or hopefully it's during the lunch break, which there was no lunch break. I mean, we didn't know that going into it, but, you know, and I was like, I don't get the whole hype about this Pokemon Center. And then I finally get in there and I'm like, okay, I get the hype behind it.
So I will say, and Shay can attest to this, like the this year with like EUIC, it was kind of sort of the same similar situation, right?
Yeah, I think they took some notes from EUIC and they made it better for NAIC, because at EUIC they didn't have the center open on the Thursday. It was just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So having that Thursday was like key, I feel, because I went in on the Thursday straight away too, because I knew that stuff like the backpacks at EUIC sold out within, like, as far as I was aware, about half an hour, because the first Pokemon Center you could get at EUIC was at 8:30, and I had one on 9 on a Saturday or something, and by the time I got in there, they were all sold out. I was like, oh, wow, okay. And the playmats and the deck boxes, you know, the pink ones. So I knew this time, when I saw Thursday, that I had to go Thursday as soon as possible, get in there, and I might have some footage of it. I was literally sprinting around the Pokemon Center finding the backpacks and the play masks, because I knew they only had, I think, 40 bags a day, right? So I knew
that. I think it was 50, wasn't it? I think it was 50 a day.
Or 50, okay. It might have been 50. And I was like, 10th person in the queue. So I was the 10th person in the Pokemon Center at NAIC, right? So I knew, like, statistically, they can't all go, but if I can't find them fast enough, the 30 behind me might get there. So I'm literally spinning around the place, find the bag, find the deck box, find the mat. So I managed to get them. I did hear some horror stories of people that, you know, obviously weren't in as early. They couldn't get, you know, the playmat out of the deck box. And unfortunately, I was going on eBay earlier. The resale is crazy. So I'm hoping if people haven't got one, can hopefully get one at like a fair
price. I've seen the playmat, bro, on eBay for $170.
170?
170 for the playmat. So, yeah, it's gone up.
And it's like, what, it was 20 to buy in the store, I think? 20?
25.
20 or 25?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
25.
that.
So, but on the whole, compared to EURC, there was definitely a big improvement. They had more having it open on Thursday was great. The queuing system was a lot better at EUIC. Like you have like an appointment at like I don't know, 2 and you wouldn't get like 3:30. That seems to be alleviated at NERC, which is nice. So all we can hope for is that, you know, maybe in next year they just make so many of these things that you have both with bags, mats, that everyone can get one. Because I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't, right? It's probably too late now for this year, but hopefully next year they think, all right, you know, these things sold out in minutes. Let's just go mad with it. Have like instead of 50 a day, have like 500 a day. Why not?
I think
just go
last
mad.
year,
You know what I mean?
there was no queue system last year though, and years prior, there weren't appointments, there wasn't a queue system. You were able to just show up and buy whatever. I mean, I never had problems with, you know, 2016, 2017, 2019, Latin last year. And then the stuff from last year, it's not worth jack squat on eBay. So maybe they made too much stuff last year and got stuck with it. And then they just like, all right, well, let's not get stuck with excess merchandise that we won't be able to sell this year. And then maybe that's why it's such limited. But at the same time, they put all the evolutions on it, and
Evie's on it, yeah.
that prints money. Like, you know,
Yeah. Evolutions, Pikachu, Charizard, what else is like Zoroark?
they could make
Those
Evolutions
are
toilet
called, yeah.
paper. They could make Evolutions toilet paper, and it would sell for $100 a roll.
What?
Yeah, no, yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So,
Evolution's toilet paper?
I'm just making up an example, but like a ridiculous one. But I think people would buy stuff like that. They're some of the most popular Pokemon, and everybody loves at least one of Eevee or its evolutions, no matter what.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think that helped it being Eevees. We'll see what happens next year with the IC merch. You always have to wait until EUIC though, because they never have the Pokemon Center at LA or OC, do they? So I'd be intrigued to see what end up happening next year.
Yeah, hopefully everything's a little bit better for everybody involved who wants to be able to get some exclusive stuff. And now that you said that
Speaking.
the playmat's selling for as much as it is, man, do I sell this thing?
Maybe. I'm thinking about selling mine. I managed to get one. I also got some insider information. From what I heard, there was a of the exclusive stuff, there was about 500 of everything. But they were only putting out
Really?
50 a day. That's what I heard. They're only putting out 50 a day. I guess they're trying to save some for staff and stuff like that too, which is fair. But yeah, it was only
Yeah.
50 a day. One guy in our group had a reservation, and he thought it was just, you know, him and a guest, but you know, it was him and, you know, three guests. So we all got to go in there. And we get there, and people are rushing and running. They're like, "Don't run, slow down." You know, it's crazy. We got there, and we're like, there's maybe 10 people ahead of us, and those 10 people are trying to, you know, dip under the line, and like they're like, "No, go back and get in line." And it was wild, man. It was a mad dash. And I get there, and there's a guy screaming out, "You know, we have five backpacks left, five backpacks!" And then someone snatches the
No.
backpack. "We have four backpacks!" And I'm just standing there like, "Backpack?" Because I don't know what I'm going in for. I've never been to one. I didn't know what's going on. I see people grabbing deck boxes and mats. Like, okay, I better get those too. That's what everyone's after. So I go stand by the backpacks. Like, "We have four backpacks." And my buddy like grabs my shoulder. He's like pushing me, "Get a backpack, get it, go, get it." I'm like, "Oh, okay, all right." So I just grab it and I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, "Hey man, I'll sell it to you if you want. I'm sure this is an $80 backpack." And I get up to the counter, it's $40. I'm like, "No, it's mine now, it's my precious." And I hug it and I squeeze it and I don't let it go. And it's like $40 for that backpack was like legit. So I'm like, it felt good to get that. I get in there the next day, you know, and backpacks are gone. Because they move things to different spots, you know, throughout the day, you know, throughout the next days. So they
Oh,
move some
did
things around.
they?
Yeah, they move some
Oh.
things around. So when people went looking for backpacks, they ran toward where they were the day previous, and they weren't there. Meanwhile, people looked in a different direction, found a couple, and yeah, it was crazy, man. But I get the hype now. I get it because you know you're getting exclusive stuff that they only print, you know, so many of. So when you get those, it's kind of like a big deal.
Yeah, those backpacks. So I saw it for like 200. I'm like, wow, do I actually sell one? I don't know. It's nice, but hard to argue with that. I'll probably hold on to it for a bit anyway. It's still got the tag and that on, so I'll see if I want to use it or not. But yeah, they are nice though, the
I'm gonna give
backpacks.
mine to my
So
son when he's old. My son's about to be two at the end of this month. I'm gonna give mine to my son when he graduates
that's
high school, and that should pay for his college tuition.
good.
in about 6 years. Here you go, son. This will take care of your college. Go where you want to go. Feel free. So that should take care of his college. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's.
You don't think so?
It's a backpack, dude. It's not
the backpack, and plus the sealed Evolving Skies booster box I have. That should take care of college, no problem.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
Yeah. All right. you gotta put the box in the backpack, and then you know it's the whole package. It's the whole Eeveelution special.
Oh my gosh! Oh, could you imagine? Oh my goodness. But yeah, the Pokemon Center was interesting. I forgot where I was going with this. Okay, I forgot. Pokemon Center was interesting, and when I got there, it was very surprising. I had no idea what to expect, and I seen it, I was like, whoa, that's like a POG moment for me. Did you guys have any POG moments this weekend? We're just like, whoa, your mouth drops open, you're just like, what? Like anything like that?
Yeah, I had a couple actually. All the Gardevoirs that were VIP passing out Spirit Tomb and Manaphy. Oh, great. Not again. That was my fog moment. Like, God damn it.
What'd you play this weekend?
Fusion Mew. I should have stuck with my guns and played Arcturus Umbreon. That's the first I stayed with Luke Burke. I had it sleeve. I mean, I was testing a little bit, actually, to be fair with him. But then, like, the day before the event, I tested with the person I was sharing the room with, and I was like, Arcturus Umbreon. But I was playing Aries as well, but I was like, Arcturus Umbreon. Like, this metal-wise seems good. And he was testing it, and he was playing Lost Box, which I think is a great matchup. And he kept on beating me, so I thought, okay, I'll go play Mew instead. I mean, basically, if I took my buttons, who knows what could have happened. But EUIC, it was the exact same situation. My friend Debbie came over the night before he was heading down. And I goes to him, I was like, Arcadura with four Lost Cities seems crap for this meta. And he was like, nah, don't bother, it's Arcadura, that's a par, you're dead draw. I was like, all right then. In a couple of days, I'm there watching the final, Arcadura with four Lost Cities. I'm like, I've played myself. And the exact same things happened again. This, I'm like, golly, I need to listen to myself. That's two like seasons in a row.
You have to trust your gut from that one.
Yeah, I have to just trust my heart and my gut and just go with what I think is right. That's two ICs in a row. I've been bang on the money. So, yeah, we'll see. Mew definitely wasn't the play this weekend. Golly. So much.
I've heard horror stories about, you know, people see Mew and they're like, okay, well, here's my Spiritomb, here's my Manaphy, and here's a Temple Sinnoh. Your turn.
Yeah.
And then he just says, well, okay. Yeah.
I just top deck and back over to you. I can retreat, maybe.
I guess I can retreat for a turn. Yeah, I've heard horror stories, man. Steven, did you have any POG moments or anything just like, wow?
Not really that I can think of.
Really? So when you were watching, front row watching a rapid box.
I mean, that was definitely, I guess, if you want to consider that. But I think collectively everybody got to really experience that.
That's true.
I was trying to think of like an individual like moment, but yeah, I don't. I guess getting donked.
Wait! I got one for you. Didn't you make a aren't you gonna be in a YouTube video coming up?
Oh yeah. I'll be in a real Breaking Nate video whenever they get around to doing it. I got to open a pack of 151 with Nate, so that was super exciting.
Yeah, so look, I'm trying to leave the venue, Chalk, and I hit up Stu and I'm like, hey man, I'm finna take off. I said, I don't know where you guys are, but I'm finna, you know, walk back to the hotel, grab my bag and you know, Uber to the airport. And Sue was like, where are you? I said, well, I'm near the food court. So, okay, we're coming to you. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I'll wait around. I guess maybe Sue wants to, you know, hug it out real quick. Give me a kiss on the cheek. I don't know. Subin and Emily come. And, you know, Subin's just like, he's just a lady. He's full of joy. I've never seen Subin this happy before, Chalk. Like, Subin's not a happy guy.
Excited. Okay. That's a blatant lie. That is a blatant lie. I am not an unhappy person.
Just straight up,
he skipped up to me. He grabbed my hands. He was holding my hands and we were swaying back and forth.
Yo, bro, no, I was not holding your hand. I had to go to the bathroom and you were trying to restrain me.
I was trying to restrain you. I went to go check on you, make sure you're okay in that bathroom. Yeah, you were in there for a while.
No, I was in there for 5 minutes. So nature called.
Yeah. Emily got worried about you. She asked me to go check on you. I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
No, she
did. No, she did. Ask her. But no, he was excited about that. He told me that, you know, he got to open up a pack of 151 with Nate, and he pulled the Jinx, right?
Yeah, Jinx EX. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
So.
And I think that could actually be a fun card, too. Isn't it if your opponent's asleep, instant knockout?
He's any special condition, I think,
actually. Yeah, any condition.
Oh my gosh. Any con what?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that might be a card. Put that with a Excalibur? Oh my gosh.
Could be, but Lost Box probably beats you. Lost Box, the boring deck it is. Boring, boring, boring.
Yeah, it needs to rotate before we can really start seeing like a lot of new stuff happen. But again, we got a while to go.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at conversion rates, if you look at stuff from, you know, day two and the top, there's a few Lost Boxes, but it's not like I thought it was going to be just Lost Box and Guardi. Like, just all day two. But it was a lot of Guardi. But Lost Box was, you know, sporadically all, you know, here and there. And there is a lot more, like you said, Arc Tina, which is weird. Arc Pile is weird. But maybe Lost Box isn't the, you know, oppressive end all be all deck we thought it was going to be. Maybe even Guardi isn't. Heading into Japan, this is just a quick just what do you think? What happens in Japan? What do you think?
I think because at Worlds, tying is like as bad as a loss, right? So you don't want to tie. So if you don't want to tie, that eliminates Lost Box for the deck to play completely, right? So if you imagine Lost Box drops a lot, which it probably will, that opens up the doors for some real fun stuff. So I was just thinking, I could, this is me going out on a limb, but looking at the meta, if Lost Box joke goes down, you start to see decks like Maraidon and Zoroark V-Star become a lot more attractive, right? They're just decks that are going to set up, they're going to win games quick. And you won't have to worry about, you know, having the bad Lost Box matchup. And Guardi to a similar extent as well, because if you lose a long game one with Guardi, you can't win, right? So even exactly Guardi, right. So even Gardevoir might popularity might go down, which then lends itself to like Mew becomes a better deck then, right? So does Maraidon, so does Zoroark V-Star. So these sort of like two or maybe three prize rush decks, maybe like something like Chen Pao even could be a lot better now. So that's the sort of stuff I'll be looking at for Worlds, is the sort of the two free prize decks that can't be played now because of Guardi and Lost Box. They become a lot better in that format, so that's what I'll be keeping my eyes on.
You know, I love me some Zoroark V-Star. Maraidon, yeah. I have a love hate relationship. Yeah. I love Maraidon, but I hate Maraidon. Chen Pao can go away. I hate it. It doesn't work. I hate it. It can just go away. But another deck that I don't really care too much for, but that might fit your model of what you're saying. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. Lugia, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Lugia, it doesn't really play too long of games. It can hit hard enough to do things. If you're playing the colorless version, you can trade very well with Lost Box in case you do see Lost Box. But you're right. Guardi takes a while. Lost Box takes a while. And, you know, in Worlds, you want wins, not ties.
Exactly. Ties, it was as good as a loss in the sense that, yeah. Because, well, I think it was if you lose or tie more than two rounds, you're just out. So that's how, I think, out of what, 8 rounds? So it's like, yeah, that's pretty cutthroat. So you can't really, so you can't afford to be tying or losing. So, yeah, I think if I was going Worlds, I'd be looking, like, right now, I'd be looking at Mew, Maraidon, or Zoroark, because they'd be the decks I'd start from. Yeah, but we'll see. It's the same format, but it's almost not the same format, right? Because everyone's gonna look at these results, everyone's gonna look at Puerto Rico as well and be like, right, you know, everyone's gonna think, right, you know, we don't want to tie, so how does that change things? So I reckon the format could look very different for Worlds. Yeah. I would imagine.
I think too, like we saw Szymanski play United Wings.
Oh, exactly. Like, yes, that's an awful Lost Box.
And I think they said that like they're just going to have fun this weekend because they already had their points. It didn't matter. But now that, you know, if we see that the Lost Box or maybe even Guardi fall off a little bit, which United Wings has a good Guardi matchup with the Murkrow swinging in there for weakness. That stuff like that could really pop off in general, too. Because, I mean, also the fact that, like, Worlds is such more closed, there could be other surprise decks that we just aren't even fathoming right now that could pop up and do well there. And it tends to be a thing if you look at the past.
Skeledirge, yeah, like
keep an eye on Ting, yeah, maybe. Ting Lucas traditionally struggles with Guardi, right? So keep an eye on Sander Wojak, because he'll be bringing some control deck that will probably run amok on whatever he plays against. So always keep an eye on him. I know his testing group, like David Rudolph and Mies, they'll be cooking up something right now, and they always bring the crazy stuff, like what they
something
bring,
that you don't think of one that time. You didn't see.
Yeah. Mew with Dream Ball combo, like they play all sorts. Mewtwo V Union, obviously being like probably the most on the face example. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, it's going to be very interesting. I'll be keeping a close eye, and I'll see how all the group chats are going, see what people are testing, see how it's all panning out. But yeah, I think Chen Park could be quite good as well. I think that's like the most cookie cutter deck. I think you just take straight and move into that format. What's wrong with Chen Pao, Gazer? Come on.
Gazer, I'm just going to take it to. Come on.
Well, no, I don't hate everything. I hate Mew because of how simplistic it is. I draw cards and I win. Look at me. Where's your strategy involved? But no, Chen Pao, I tried it for 2 weeks and I tried 5 different lists and nothing worked. Nothing felt right. Either I got set up but I had no energy. Either I had everything I needed but couldn't get set up in time, only had 2 Pokemon out. It just never, the pieces never came together all at the right time. So I gave up on it. I hate it. I'm mad at it. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. It's like an ex-girlfriend. I don't know how I feel. So many mixed emotions.
Did you ever try it with the Arc?
That's the one build I did not try. I tried 5 other builds. That's the one I did not try.
That's my favorite, to be fair. 1-1 Bib, 1-1 Arc. 4 Chen Pao, so you lead it more often to find your energy. That's my favorite way to play.
I think you're about to make me try it one more time.
Try it one more time.
Yeah, I think you're gonna make me try it one more time, man.
Just do it.
It's like getting back with an ex-girlfriend. Like, all right, one last chance, one last ride.
That's it. One more dance.
So we're close to wrapping this up. Before we do, though, Steuben, you got a chance to talk to Real Breaking Nate. Shay, you got a chance to talk to a lot of other content creators. This weekend overall, was there anyone you guys talked to that gave you some inspiration, that gave you guys some insight on things you want to work on, you want to do moving forward? My content can usually consist of, you know, some funny tweets. I have some banger tweets. My Twitter is pretty, I'm a funny guy. And usually consists of tweets and just, you know, streaming on Twitch. My YouTube is lacking a lot of things. But after sitting down and talking with you and LDF and Julian, that kind of got me motivated to want to, you know, tackle YouTube a little bit better and just, you know, expand on that. But is there anyone you guys talked to this weekend you made connections with, or anyone you felt like, you know, gave you guys that fire you needed, you know, content creator wise?
For me, it's probably James Cox and Julian. We chatted for a long time about like just super boring YouTube stuff, like, you know, title optimization and thumbnails and all that boring stuff. And we just chatted for ages. And now we've got like, it's like group chat going where we just literally just talk about YouTube stuff. Like, we'll take it how we're going to, you know, cover NAIC or what titles we're going for. And I've just been yearning for that, people to nerd out about YouTube for such a long time. And James's content's sick. Like, he's only just started and he's like busting out bear views and obviously top 4 world, so he can go in depth with stuff. And yeah, I talked to Nine Card for a lot as well. That was pretty cool. He's going to start, you know, trying to, because he wants to get involved with casting as well, so we're just chatting about that and all that stuff. So yeah, it's always motivating to like chat to other content creators and see where their heads are, and you know, pick their brains. They can pick yours, get opinions on things, and yeah, it's always motivating for sure.
It was fun for me to do that too with you guys. Yeah, Nine Card told me he wants to get into casting, and I'm like, well, man, part of me wants to as well. And then even though he wasn't here, Primetime Wizard Wancho, he and I talked. Over the last, I met him in what, September. So from September to now, we talked about, you know, casting, the ins and outs, how he got into it, what it takes, just a lot of different things. And just that, it's motivational, and it feels good to have that. That moment I was on stream back in Fresno, just for that quick little interview with Boo, that felt so good, and it gave me that want to, that fire, you know. And I know for a fact the Shuffle Squad was on stream. Riley, Twitter, our boy Subin. On guard,
yeah,
managed to get on stream. I think just because he was wearing a crown, they're like, hey, get that guy with the crown, right?
I don't know the full circumstance. Again, like, we, you know, we were in the venue, so we don't get the full stream experience unless you're like, you know, only there as a spectator up front sitting and listening and watching. But you know, because we're all,
yeah, I didn't know any of this happened until I checked Twitter.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, people are whoa, look at people, they're here. I know those people, and that was cool. But so was there anyone that you talked with or interacted with that's just like helped you with, you know what you want to do with your content?
I didn't really talk about content too much. I guess if you really talk about like when we were joking with Mello Kevin Clemente about you begging them to do a podcast collab.
Shout out to Evie too. We finally got to meet Evie.
Where Kevin was just like, no, Gazer, and then he just looks at me and he's like, do you want to be on Stupid? And I was like, sure, let's go. that was funny. I mean,
hey, I was trying to get on. I was trying to do a dual podcast. You know, Gust of Wind, Lake of Rage combination, Lake of Wind or Gust of Rage, whatever you want to call it. I was like, that'd be perfect. You know, all of us together, you know, talking, and everyone keeps saying no. And then Mello just says, hey, Steuben, you want to be on? And so I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I'm like, I'm here too, but that's fine.
I'm not up his butt 24/7 trying to make something happen. Just
technically, I'm not up Mello's butt.
That's not what I actually mean. But I mean, every other day on Twitter, you're like, whoa.
No, if anything, I'm up Evie's butt, man. That's the guy who's in charge of all this stuff. I'm just all up in Evie, if anything.
Oh my God, we're gonna get canceled now.
Probably. It's not the first time. We got to meet Evie, the guy that's in charge of, you know, doing a lot of things for the Lake of Rage. And he's a cool guy, down to earth guy. Man, I sat there and talked with him and JW.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got to meet JW for the first time.
We talked for a minute. We were all there together. Mm-hmm. We got to meet Coco, JW as well. Coco Jabro.
Oh, that's right. You never met Coco. That was my third time with Coco.
That was the first time for that. It was really cool after being connected on Twitch for over a year now, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Julian too for a little bit. We did a selfie. He put it on his Instagram story. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, I mean, I wish I got more time to talk to more people and like the hecticness of like, oh crap, the next round's up, or oh man, I just finished my game. I'm in passing. I gotta pee. Like Shay and I, we just got a fist bump. That was it. And like, I wish I would have been able to hang out with you and talk to you a little bit more. But just the way everything moves and flows at those tournaments, man. You know,
You're right.
We're never in the same place for too long if we have time, or not have time, I guess, is what I.
Unless you scrub out.
Yeah,
let's just scrub out. We have all day.
O2 drop like 9 card, or we can go. We went and got drunk.
Hey, don't expose Nick like that, man.
That's fine.
O2 drop, and he went and just had a wholesome time. Come on, man.
Yeah, with his missus.
He had fun. I'm not dogging on him.
But before we get out of here, are we touching any songs, Steuben?
Yeah, I think we definitely should, considering. You know, we just had the biggest Western Pokemon TCG tournament finish up with crazy, diverse top cut, and not counting all the, you know, the different arc piles specifically, but for the fact that, like, we were wrong on our meta call by a long shot with the amount of love everybody put towards Guardian Lost Box taking the event. So if you have one specifically you want to cover first, go right ahead.
I don't think I do. Honestly, I don't think I have any songs. Here's a public apology for me. I'll do a press conference later. And our guy, MWDC Mike, you know, said I need to apologize. So here it is. I was wrong. I said Art Guardi wasn't that great. I said it's pretty straightforward and simple.
Did you say Art Guardi?
Oh, Art Guardi.
Bro, kind of deck are you cooking right now?
Okay, so look, I leaked what I'm playing for team challenges coming up. Okay, I leaked it. That's me. That's my fault. But no, I meant Art Garatina. It translated. It came through, and a lot of different Arc decks did too. I've seen Arc Aerodactyl, the Arc Dera Umbreon. It's... I guess when it doesn't brick, the fact you can just go grab any two cards you want, you're in an okay spot. So I do apologize for that. Based off all that, I don't see any stocks rising. I don't see anything just going up. Only thing I think you're going to see a lot of, and this is going to be almost every deck, is going to be Manaphy. Any deck that needs to evolve, you know, that evolves from, like, you know, any basic, small HP basics, you're going to see Manaphy. And that's just going to be just one, maybe two, a lot of rods, things like that. So if you want to get your Glaring Gallery Manaphys, grab them now, because I think those go up a little bit. Other than that, I don't really see anything yet. What do you see, Stu?
I think we should talk about what the one vendor had, and it was their hot buy list board. They were willing to buy Forest Seal Stone at $10 a copy on Thursday and Friday. Why? It's online on TCG Player. It's like $11. So is it really worth that dollar profit margin for them, or do they see this card going even a higher?
And I what think would cause it to go higher? More, it's definitely going to get more expensive, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But why? What reason?
Because it's what set was that?
It was Silver Tempest.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say Lost Box doesn't rotate, right? So whenever doesn't rotate immediately, I should say. So whenever any turbo deck comes out, because I think V's survive some of the rotation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for turbo to exist, 2 years of V's still, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. So for that next 2 years, if you want to have the comp search in your V deck, you have to play that. And it's like an awkward set. So this wasn't opened that ridiculously much. And I don't know. It reminds me a bit of like Ace Spec cards from back in the day, and they got well expensive. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see it getting to about $20 a card at a peak, I think.
Yeah, and the fact too that like what like the most modern Mew lists were playing three copies, in it. So
I wanted to play four. I just couldn't get my hands on a fourth one. Couldn't get my hands on a fourth one, but I would have played four if I had four? 100%. Yeah.
Goodness.
How many times if you just like. Let's say you're digging for bottom tablet this turn, right? You draw into one. And then you're digging, and then you never find the whatever else you need, right? At any point, you just draw into the forest, though, you've got it. And like, even if you draw into more down the road, you can always attach them to your Genesect and just get them out of the hand all the time. So, yeah. And the time when you haven't got VIP in your opening hand, but you have a forest still, like, sound, I can play the game now. Whereas before, like, if that forest seal was like, I don't know, another escape route, you know, this game's over. So, yeah. I did see a couple. I think I saw one Fusion Mew list in day two that had four forest seals. Yeah, big fan.
Yeah, I think it'll just keep going up. And even then, like, even though, you know, we'll eventually have more EXs and more evolution lines to play, Lumineon can still get shoved into any deck as long as there's like an Ultra Ball search for it. So the fact that Lumineon can grab your support, you got Pidgeot, Drapion still is a thing. We've seen people start to play Rotom in random decks as a one off, as like a turn one draw engine, like the Maridon grabs your Magnemite and your Rotom to draw for the Dialga deck. Then you've got it in like Tinkaton and all these like random decks that need to set up and support. I think they're gonna play these four seal stones, because you can also too, you can grab it with Arvin, and then it's any card you want, not just a tool card. So I think we're definitely gonna see it continue just to go up, and it's gonna be a pivotal part in game decision for a lot of players to be able to use that four seal stone.
I agree. So should I hold on to mine or sell them right now?
I think you hold.
Oh, definitely hold on to them. Like, if you sell them and then there's some next deck that like needs three of them and you have to buy them back at like 20 a pop, you'll be kicking yourself.
I will. I think I have four, so I probably need to hold on. Yeah, you guys are right.
Yeah. I've been there before. My four ice cards aren't good anymore. And they end up being good. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely hold, or get them while they're 10, 11 bucks.
That's it. If you haven't got them, buy them now.
You might regret it later on down the line.
All right, so Shay, before we let you roll, you've been here before, so we didn't do the six prize turn with you. You've done that, but we do have a new game we play, and Steuben hates it, but everyone else loves it.
Okay.
This game is called Where Are They From. I'm going to ask you Where Are They From? I'm going to ask you about three different Pokemon. And you have to tell me as quick as you can, you know, you have maybe 2 seconds to figure it out, what region or, you know, what generation they're from. You could say the generation, you could say Gen 6 or 7, or you could say, you know, Sinnoh or Hoenn or, you know, Alola, whatever you want to say. But you have maybe 2 seconds. And these are usually, you know, pretty obscure Pokemon. So it's kind of hard to remember sometimes.
Okay. I'm going to preface this. My obscure Pokemon knowledge is second to none. So I reckon I'll be good at this.
I mean, we'll see. Gazer, this man ran trivia on his channel. So you better step your game up here.
I never got the call for the Jeopardy game. That's no fair.
Well, you know, maybe next time, Gazer.
Is it coming back?
Might be. Had some talks about it. Maybe.
Okay. Okay, first one. Are you ready? Okay, blip bug.
Blipbug. Oh, it's in six right now. No, it's not. No. Oh no, it's Sword and
Time
Shield.
is up. Time is up.
It's the Sword and Shield one. Wait, is it?
It
I can't
is.
even remember.
It's the blip bug. I thought your knowledge was second to none. What happened
Yeah, I said the first thing. I didn't think.
there?
Is it Sword and Shield one? Isn't it? Because that's
It.
what Orbeetle, isn't
It is Sword and
it?
Shield, Orbital.
Oh, damn it. Okay, don't say the first thing, Shay. Actually, think first.
I also forgot to mention, person who gets the our guest who gets the highest score total is going to win dinner from Steuben.
Nah,
Oh, is
no.
it?
No, last
No,
week
I'm
he
still.
told Vulcan Turtle and Nine Card that I would send them ATB sleeves, and then I just said I have no involvement in these prizes that we're paying out.
Now it's dinner from Steuben. Yes, that's the new
No,
prize.
dinner with
All
me,
right.
not from me.
So if I get these next two, I could be in contention for the dinner. Okay. All right,
We'll get
that's fine.
Taco Bell if that's okay with you.
That's fine by me.
All right.
All right. Next one. Shelmet.
Yes, 10-4.
He's right. That is Gen 5. He is correct. How'd you know
Okay.
that one so quickly?
Because that's the one where you have to trade it with what was it? You trade it with the other bug thing, and then one of them becomes the bug with the spear, and the other one comes Exelva, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Escavalier, yeah, and Excalibur,
Excalibur, that's
yep,
the
yep.
in you trade it with the shaman, and then do a little hot potato with the metal, don't they? That's how they evolve.
Yeah, one just gets naked and says, "Here, takes my clothes."
Yeah, pretty much.
That's basically what it is. All right, last one. See if you can get this one. Let me find a tougher one for you. Ooh, okay. Are you ready? Morlo.
Ooh, that strength sat. Morlo, that's Gen 7.
Gen 7 is correct. How you're that's good.
Yeah.
I would have forgotten that
Let's
one. You are
go.
good for that one.
Let's go.
So you are 2 of 3. I think that is the second highest total. The
Who
highest
got
total
three
came
out of
from a
three?
3 out of 3 was a couple of our breaker friends who bribed us with codes. Because they're breakers, so they have tons of codes. So they did bribe us. So technically they're 3 out of 3. I
Okay.
enjoy codes. I enjoy free codes, so it's fine.
Oh, so close as well. I could have been three for three if I didn't blurt out the first one. That's a shame. Oh well. Maybe next time I'll go three for three.
But no, Shay, this was great to have you. As always, it's a pleasure. I wish you were in the airport right now so we could have the video and because you're very animated, man. You're charismatic, and that's I feel like that's your hook. That's what people love about you. I can't wait till we start getting you in some more casting, because you bring so much energy whenever you do it.
Oh, thanks so much. Appreciate
I
that.
love I
Yeah.
love your suits, bro. I'm not gonna lie. You got the best suits in the casting game.
I try my best. You know, if you turn up looking sharp, you feel sharp, and your car sharp. That's the idea. So, yeah, man. But I like to stand out. I like bright colors, me. So, but yeah, appreciate that. It's been fun. It's always been fun getting involved. The time zones make it quite hard when I'm at home and you guys are at home. So I'm glad we sorted something out.
Yeah, we had to catch you. You told me you were leaving either Monday or Tuesday. And I said, well, I'm off work for the summer. I work for the school district. And I think students off till Wednesday. I said, so we got to make this happen sometime. And then you messaged
Yeah.
us, you're actually leaving Monday. I said, well, man, let's do it in the airport if you're down. Where are you right now?
Yeah.
Like in the corner of the airport? Are you in a bathroom? Are you?
No, I'm literally at my gate for my for when my flight goes. I'm just there, in New York. I think it's JFK Airport. Gate light. Where is this gate? One or two? I'm at right now. I'm just sat looking at the runway. That's all I've been watching. I've been doing this, and it's been quite cool.
So, how long is your flight from New York back home?
That's a good question. I think it's like, is it? It's always longer back, I think, because the wind. I think it's like 9.5 or something like that, or
Oh,
nine.
dear Lord. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but it's an overnight one, so I'll do some work on the plane for like 2 hours, and I'll just go to sleep. Then hopefully wake up. I get back to London at like 7:30 in the morning, so I just get a quick train back up, and then drop my stuff off, go to the gym, and then it'd just be right back to normal at that point, back to normal life.
This man's rolling right back into the gym. Just gets home, like, all right, time for the gym. Here we go.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been, how many days has it been now? Four or five days? That's too long.
That's too long.
That's too long.
The grind never stops.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, Bert, any shout-outs or anything you want to give out, plugs, anything you want to, this is your chance right now.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. So shout out to you too. It's been a pleasure as always. If you want to try and catch any of my content, Twitter, Burt's PTCG, that'll be the first place. Then the YouTube at the same handle, Burt's PTCG. And then Instagram as well, Burt's PTCG, trying to make a big push there on Instagram as well. So yeah, if you like sort of topic-based videos, highly edited, you know, how to get better, some historic stuff, then yeah, come check it out on Twitter. And then, oh yeah, if ever watching any EU streams next season, hopefully I'll be on a few of them, so hopefully you might see me there as well.
Yeah, I'll have all the links down below to all of their socials in the show notes, so please go take a moment to check everything out they got going on. And Gazer, you and I have a kind of semi announcement we could sneak at the end, since it's not, everything is not set in stone, but we may have sold the podcast.
Yeah, and it was time. I mean, you and I, we couldn't keep doing this forever.
Yeah,
we have a lot of disagreements, and we talked about it. You know, at NAIC, I said, "Hey, I'm tired." You said, "You're tired." I said, "Let's just retire." So yeah,
okay. We sold the podcast to Darth Vader himself, which we'll talk about that next episode. But spoilers, things are looking pretty dark over here.
Oh, wow.
God, I mean, I was already dark to begin with. Not like you guys are thinking.
Okay,
not like that.
Okay.
Not like that.
All right. to be completely transparent, I did not mean it to go in that direction whatsoever.
Neither did I. Neither did I. I meant like I was already part of the dark side. Yeah, so it was never. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Whatever. Yeah, you're not helping yourself here, are you?
We're done for. It's over. I'm glad we've already cashed out. So if not, we'd be canceled.
But no, Subin, any closing thoughts, man? Anything else you want
to
say?
No, NAIC was a blast. If I got to talk to you or meet you, I appreciate you guys listening to the pod. I had a lot of people come up compared to like regionals and stuff, since there's just so many more people that are like, hey, I love the podcast. Keep it up. They've took selfies with me on their phones. I wasn't the best at taking pictures on my phone. I got a couple. But if you guys took photos with me, please tag me over on Twitter or anywhere else you want to put it. And I too will be trying a little bit better with Instagram in the near future. So
I don't know what an Instagram is, so I can't do that.
It's a grandma in an instant.
Oh, that's okay. I already have one of those then.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you got, you're covered.
But no, yeah, it was surreal. I've experienced when I went to San Diego. It was surreal to have people come up and say, "Hey, I listened to the podcast," or "Hey, blame Gazer," right? Like that hashtag's really caught on. I embrace that one. It's the MoDob I don't embrace, man. I punched a couple people in the chest this weekend. Like I said, I would, and that was fine. But to see, you know, Blame Gazer shirts and people actually care, like, that meant a lot, man. So, and Subin, when I first met you, I thought we were going to just, you know, fist bump or shake hands, but you came and you gave me a hug, bro. So I know that you actually, you like me as a person, man. So that was that just no, the first interaction, no. You gave me a hug. So I was like, hey, he likes me. Wow.
Come on, man. Let's be real. If I didn't like you, I would have told you to eat crap a long time ago.
I mean, you told me that like last week, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but that wasn't serious.
Are you okay? I can leak the DMs. We got some. We talked about some things.
Oh yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
We already sold the podcast. It's fine.
Yeah, it's over with. We're done.
But no, thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Like you said, you can, like I say all the time, you can find this on Spotify. It's not on YouTube anymore. You can find us wherever you hear, find podcasts.
Apple, just Amazon, Google, Gus Wynn podcast. Google. You name yeah. it.
Google Gus Wynn Podcast. We're there. You'll find us. Check out our boy Bert's PTCG. A lot of his content is going towards you know, more so informational videos, you know, how to play better. He has a couple world champions on there. Or not world, but a couple of regional champions on there. But how to play better, build this kind of deck, stuff like that. So he's really giving people the tools they need to improve their game.
Yeah, that's us. What's all about, everyone, you know what I mean? So we can all hopefully win more and all that good jazz.
Right on. Thank you as always.
But no, Shay, it's been it's been great. Thank you for listening, Shay. You guys, Shay, this has been great. Yeah, I think we're out of here.
All right, see you later, guys. Have a good one.
Take it easy. Don't forget to leave a review.
Please do. All right, you guys. Peace.